Well, this morning, I want to talk about mothers. I want to talk about the gift of God that mothers are. And all the mothers say, mothers are a gift from God. And everybody that had a mom, if you're here today, mothers are a gift from God, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Very good. All right. Let's dive right in. I want to start by saying that God chose to create a family unit as an accurate reflection of himself. I want you to think about that. God chose the family unit as an accurate reflection of himself. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. It says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." So we see here that God created Adam and Eve. God created male and female in his image. It's something that's very, very important to understand. But let's think about this for a minute. So what do we know about God? We know that God is a spirit. In John chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. We also know that there's neither male nor female in heaven. It says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, it says, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And then we also know that in Matthew 22, 30, it says there's no marriage or giving in marriage. It says, at the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. So then what is it about male and female that demonstrates or is an accurate reflection of God? What is it? I've heard preachers say that man was created in the image of God, and woman was created in the image of man. That's not at all biblical. That is not at all biblical. Scripture clearly states, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So if we look at the account of how woman was created, it says that God took her from Adam. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 through 23, it says, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the woman, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. So she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Now, the Hebrew word for rib is T-S-E-L-A. Obviously, it's not in English. It's Hebrew letters, but that's the English equivalent, and it's pronounced Selah. It has multiple meanings, including the word rib, but it also means a piece of or a side of. In this particular passage, I'd like us to reread it, putting the word side in. So listen to this. It says, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of man's sides and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made the woman from the side he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Have you ever heard that saying, or have you ever used that saying, this is a side of you I've never seen before? God created man in his own image and then removed a side of his nature, his character, his essence from the man. And from that aspect of himself, He created a separate being. When Adam saw her, he called her Isha, or woman. He was literally saying, you are of me. You are a part of me. You are me. There is something about man and woman that together reflect the nature of God. God felt the need to separate his character into two distinct parts in order that we might better understand who he is. So, what are the attributes of God's nature that we can learn from the woman? Let's start with a few obvious things. God gave the responsibility of childbearing to the woman. God gave the responsibility of feeding the newborn baby to the woman. God gave the responsibility of nurturing to the woman. God gave woman a responsibility of instructing, teaching, and giving guidelines for living to their children. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, says, my child, listen when your father corrects you, and don't neglect your mother's instruction. Women have the ability to shape the moral climate of nations. A woman sets the moral compass within her child's heart that guides them for the rest of their life. God has gifted women with this unique responsibility, this unique ability to be able to shape the cultures. Do I have teachers in the house? Do I have people that work in education in the house? Raise your hands. There are quite a few here. And so, yeah. You are shaping and you are changing culture. You are, and let me clarify something. It's not just the mother that does this with her child, although that is one of the ways, but women have an ability to affect us in ways that we can't even begin to explain or understand. Just simply, the way they say things, the way they do things, just reaches inside of us and touches a certain place in our heart that causes us to get back on track. I don't know if any of y'all know, somebody had a mother that was just, had that ability to just grab a hold of you and move you along, or a lady in your life, whether it was a grandmother or a praying lady in the church that was just able to steer you back on track. Is there anybody in the house today that understands what I'm talking about? Somebody had a praying mom out there, right? That's why we are where we are. So I want us to take a second to look at this video. This is Mark Gunger, and he's talking about the difference between the men and the women's brain. Take a look at this real quick.
We're going to start discussing men's brains, women's brains, and how they're very different from each other. Now, I want to start with men's brains. All right? Now, men's brains are very unique. Men's brains are made up of little boxes, and we have a box for everything. We've got a box for the car. We've got a box for the money. We got a box for the job. We got a box for you. We got a box for the kids. We got a box for your mother somewhere in the basement. We got boxes everywhere. And the rule is, the boxes don't touch. When a man discusses a particular subject, we go to that particular box, we pull that box out, we open the box, we discuss only what is in that box, all right? And then we close the box and put it away, being very, very careful not to touch any other boxes.
Yeah.
Now, women's brains are very, very different from men's brains. Women's brains are made up of a big ball of wire. And everything is connected to everything. The money's connected to the car, and the car's connected to your job, and your kids are connected to your mother, and everything's connected to everything. And it's like... It's like the internet superhighway, okay? And it's all driven by energy that we call emotion. It's just... It's one of the reasons why women tend to remember everything. Because if you take an event and you connect it to an emotion, it burns in your memory and you can remember it forever. The same thing happens for men. It just doesn't happen very often because, quite frankly, we don't care. Women tend to care about everything. And she just loves it. Okay? Now, men, we have a box in our brain that most women are not aware of. This particular box has nothing in it. In fact, we call it the nothing box. And of all the boxes a man has in his brain, the nothing box is our favorite box. If a man has a chance, he'll go to his nothing box every time. That's why a man can do something seemingly completely brain dead for hours on end. You know, like fishing. Now, they've actually measured this. The University of Pennsylvania a couple of years ago did a study and discovered that men have the ability to think about absolutely nothing and still breathe. You know, they connected all the wires and stuff like that and watched the brain activity, then all of a sudden,
I think he's dead!
Huh? You know, women can't do it. They can't do it. Their minds never stop. And they don't understand the nothing box, and it drives them crazy. Because nothing drives a woman more crazy or makes her feel more irritated than to witness a man doing nothing.
We will continue the lesson for husbands and wives another time, but I thought it was a great example of how God made us different and unique. And so, how does this relate to God's character? Let's look at some attributes of the Holy Spirit. The word Jesus used to describe the Holy Spirit was the Greek word parakletos. It means an advocate, an intercessor, a consoler or comforter, a helper. We're going to look through some scriptures. In John chapter 14, verse 16, in the Amplified Version, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever." John 14, 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So he remembers everything. John 15, 26, "But when the Helper comes, who I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. John 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Romans 8, verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we don't know what we should pray as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows that what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Titus 3, 5 says, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Let's dwell on that last verse for a second. If you read through this and you contemplate it, it really sounds like this incubation process. It sounds like us being engulfed in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and as we are in that place, we are being transformed into his image. Does that sound like what happens in the womb of a mother? But it's within, when our lives are within the Holy Spirit. So do you see the correlation between the Holy Spirit and the unique characteristics of God's very nature that he chose to place within the woman? We must be born of the Spirit. As we dwell within the Holy Spirit, we are being transformed to the image of God. The Holy Spirit guides us in the truth. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, our counselor, our intercessor, our helper, our guide. Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. I will return to you. Right now I'm with you, but I will be in you. We must understand that this powerful truth, that the Spirit of Christ lives within us in the form of the Holy Spirit. There is also a third aspect to this. There's a third aspect to the nature and the character of God. And that is our children. A child is a reflection of both the mother and the father combined. A child is a reflection of both the mother and the father combined. What are the two most asked questions of children? Who do you look like? Your mom or your dad? And who are you most like? Your mom or your dad? No matter how hard you try, there are aspects of both your mother and your father that you will never be able to remove from yourself. Both in your DNA and in your psyche, you were created in the image of both your mother and your father. Now that may be depressing for some. Honestly, some of you never knew one or the other or either of your parents. Perhaps you had a bad relationship that hurts you to this day. Perhaps you are just beginning to understand why you are depressed or why you have struggled with a low self-esteem. Maybe you feel like you hate yourself because all that you see within you is the part of your parents that you hated. Don't let the scars of the past dictate your future. Don't let the failures of others define your destiny. There is a God who loves you and who desires to restore you to his image and his likeness. He can take the broken pieces of your life and put them back together with his healing touch. When he sees your future, he sees the fullness of his potential in you. You are not a product of your past. Your story can be a story of redemption. God longs to redeem your past and to give you a future that is filled with victory. As the Apostle Paul said, we go from glory to glory. But there is a process. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 3, verse 3 through 6. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. In John 15, 10, it says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 15, 4 and 5 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And Galatians 3:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And it continues on from there. Jesus is describing a process by which you and I are changed, are transformed from people who have been separated from God into once again being restored to the image and likeness of God himself. He is saying, there is a way that I can redeem you to myself, and I can be your father, and you can be my child, and you can once again reflect who I am. When it talks about, this is my command that you love, if you abide in my love, then, and I will abide in you. What is this talking about? It's just the same thing as what we just got through saying about this DNA process, that there are aspects of you and I and our parents that we cannot remove from our DNA. There are aspects of them that we cannot separate from our psyche. So it is with God. When we are reborn, when we are born of the Spirit, when we go through this regeneration process where we allow the Spirit of God to come into our lives and to change us and to transform us, he puts his DNA within us. And the Holy Spirit is the one that operates in this. How tragic it is that so many have a fear of the Holy Spirit. How tragic it is that so many are disconnected from the Holy Spirit. The aspect of God's nature and character that aligns with what a mother is on this earth is reflected through her life is the Holy Spirit. If we were to look at what the Holy Spirit is to us, it would be the same as what a mother is to us. It's that one that comes alongside. It's that one that helps. It's that one that nurtures. It's that one that cares for. It's that one that guides us. It's the one that we must be birthed through. It is the one that gives us the sustenance of life. It's the one that teaches us. It's the one that knows all things and is able to connect all the dots and bring everything together. That's the Holy Spirit. But we must be born again. We must allow the Holy Spirit to be present in our life. Because the Holy Spirit will not force himself upon us. This was my conclusion in this. It says, just as the woman takes the essence of the man and carries it within herself for 9 months, that is, as it is being formed into the very image and nature of its father and mother, so the Holy Spirit takes the seed planted by the Father in our lives, and as we abide within the Holy Spirit, we are transformed into the very image of God. Just as the woman is the source of life-giving nutrients that sustain a child and cause its immune system to strengthen as they grow, so the Holy Spirit is our life source, helping us to grow stronger and to fight off the deadly spiritual diseases that can harm or kill us. Just as the woman brings comfort and nurture and guidance and defends her child, so the Holy Spirit is our helper, our comforter, our guide, our defender. Just as you and I need the love and affection and care of our earthly mothers, even more so, we need the love and affection and care of the Holy Spirit actively at work in our lives. I'm closing, and I'm going to ask the musicians to come. We must be born again. We must be born again. God can transform us into his very image and likeness. He can redeem our old DNA by adding his DNA to us. But this miraculous work can only be done by the Holy Spirit. I want us to begin to ask that God fill us with his Holy Spirit. I want us to begin to seek that he would come and that he would surround us so that we can abide within him. Because it's in that abiding that we are transformed by the power of his Spirit. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, that is the first step. The Bible says to repent of your sins. If you ask God for forgiveness, he will forgive you and he will change your life by the power of his Holy Spirit. But it starts with confession, a confession of faith. It starts with repentance. He will do the rest. I just want to take a moment right now, right where we are. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you feel far away. Maybe you feel estranged. Maybe your relationship with your earthly parents or your earthly mother was not one that you can look back fondly upon. Or maybe you just feel abandoned and alone. Maybe your mother has passed and every thought of your mother just brings pain and sorrow because she's no longer here. Perhaps you have had a good relationship with your family, but you feel like you and your life are not where they need to be. Today, I want you to know that God is here. And he's offering to be the father to the fatherless. He's offering to be the mother to the motherless. He's offering to take you and to transform your nature and your character into his nature and his character. He wants to restore and renew your life. He wants to take those broken pieces and put them together and bring healing and restoration. He wants to redeem your past and give you a future that is bright and full of hope. He can do all of those things through the power of his Holy Spirit. But it takes your part. You have to be willing. You have to be willing you have to surrender. Would you be willing to, right now in this very moment, just slip your hand up and say, I need Jesus. If that's you and you say, I want to come home. I want to come home. I want Jesus in my life. I need Jesus. If you feel that you need Jesus in your life, just raise your hand right now. I see those hands. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I repent of my sins. I ask you for your forgiveness. I ask that you would come and that you would take my life and that you would renew it, that you would transform it, that you would make it all that it can be. I ask that you would allow me to be birthed anew, to be reborn, not of an earthly family, but of my heavenly family. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would be my guide. I ask that you would be my comforter. I ask that you would be my counselor. I ask that you would lead me and teach me your ways. I surrender myself to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you give the Lord a round of applause?